game. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Denny Hamlin's finally gotten to his goal of 60 wins. Now can he get his first championship? And who will survive the carnage at Talladega to claim a second spot in the finals? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Bob Pockers from Fox Sports and Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com and Racing America.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Bob and Toby here. And boy, a lot to unpack coming out of the Vegas weekend. And let's start off, Bob, with an emotional Denny Hamlin. You know, he's talked about 60 being his goal. He made it this year and quite emotional. It's kind of a salute to his dad in victory lane, and it gets him a spot in the finals. Hard to believe it's been how many years? What, 5 years since he, 4 years? Yeah, 5 years since he made the finals.
Yeah, it's obviously a little bit different side of Denny than what you typically see after a win. Typically, he's taunting the crowd, but here he was bawling. You know, in his car before he was even able to get out. Obviously, his dad has been sick, and he really wanted his dad to see him win 60. And there he was. He got to 60 wins, and now he's got also a chance to run for that elusive title. We'll see if he gets it this year.
Toby, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he came through when it mattered most, right? I mean, he wasn't the guy that was the dominant car for the majority of the race, but when the chips were on the table and he had a chance to get around Larson there while kind of fighting for second behind Briscoe, who was out there on two tires, he did what he needed to do, got the spot, had really good short run speed, and pulled it off. It was pretty incredible, and you kind of start to wonder, like Bob said, is this the year that he finally pulls it off? But we've kind of seen this a lot of times in the past where things look like they're lining up just right for him, and it doesn't work out. So it'll be very interesting to see if things are different this time around.
Well, that's one thing that Denny said. He really got up on the wheel, and you know, Kyle Larson said, I had nothing for him. I almost wonder, are we seeing a different Denny Hamlin this time around than we've seen in the past? We saw him, think how aggressive we saw him a couple of weeks ago at Kansas. He didn't get the win. He cost Bubba Wallace a chance at the win. He cost the other Toyotas a chance at the win, Bob. But are we seeing maybe a more aggressive, a more determined Denny Hamlin as the playoffs come to a close?
I think what you're seeing is a Denny Hamlin who knows that he has 75 cup races probably left in his career. So his ZFG is pretty high, right? Like, he knows that these are going to be his last chances. So I don't know if the aggressiveness is more just, hey, I know this is the way I need to race, or more, I know that I don't have, I know that 2027 is going to be my last year in Cup, at least full time. And so I'm going to make the most of it.
You know, I think one thing that struck me is we are seeing fewer mistakes from Denny Hamlin on pit road than we've seen in the past. Toby?
Yeah, I mean, that might be a case of, just dotting the I's, crossing the T's, right? I mean, that's something that's kind of eliminated him in a lot of situations in the past. So, overall, a lot less mistakes on the track, too. I know he had the incident with Bubba just going for the win with, power steering issues. But I think overall, we haven't seen a whole lot of issues from Denny on the track. So it's been a really good year. And I know at the beginning of the year, we talked about how this has been 5 years since he's been in the championship four. When he started the season off with Chris Gayle, I don't know if he felt like this was going to be a year he was going to be going to the championship four. So I think a lot of that could be part of the emotion as well, is that he didn't expect going to the year that he'd be running for a championship probably.
I mean, that's the thing, Bob. I mean, we used to be able to sit there and count on Denny Hamlin for, over the course of a 36-race season, 40, 45 speeding penalties. We just haven't had that this year.
We've had some, but not that many. He had one actually in the first race at Las Vegas. But obviously he's paying attention to what he can do, to what he needs to do. And, look, I think when you have confidence in your car and confidence in what you're doing, maybe you're not, I'm not going to say he's not pushing it on pit road, but he's being probably a little bit more careful, being like, I don't need to make that mistake and ruin my day. I can make up that little bit of difference on the track.
All right. Talked to a lot of the guys. They all feel like that Las Vegas is a huge race to win because it gives you those extra 2 weeks that you don't have to worry about Talladega now, which is a round of eight for the first time. You don't have to worry about Martinsville. You can now spend 2 weeks focusing purely on Phoenix. And for that reason, it's a huge, huge win. You agree with that, Toby?
I do. I mean, you look at two of the last 3 years, Joey Logano used that strategy to perfection and was able to pull it off. Now, obviously, Penske's been really good at Phoenix regardless. Both he and Ryan Blaney have been in the mix for the win pretty much every year out there. But I do think there's an advantage to that because now it's not, you know, stressing out whether you're going to be able to make the championship four or not, or doing whatever you need to do to just try to work your way into it. Now, all of a sudden, you know you're in. You can focus on that Phoenix car and get things 100% completely ready to go for that championship race.
You feel the same way, Bob?
A little bit, but, you know, I even asked Denny in the media center, is it a blessing or a curse that he has 2 weeks or now, you know, 3 weeks really to stress about Phoenix, right? Yeah. I mean, if we did... You know, if he didn't win this race, he'd still be concentrating on making the champ four. Now he has 3 weeks to worry about how is he not going to blow this one, right? And how is he not going to mess up? And what could go wrong? Because that's his history in the championship four. So while I do think it is good for the team in getting the car prepped, I do wonder what it does for Denny from a mental standpoint.
I mean, you make a great point, Bob, because Denny has been one of these guys that has been easy. I shouldn't say easy, but he is a guy who can be mentally taken out of it, or mentally intimidated is not the right word either. But, you know, I think back to the days when Darrell Waltrip was winning championships and he'd get inside Bobby Allison's head year after year. And we've seen other drivers get inside Denny Hamlin's head. And we've talked about Joey Logano. People were talking about it at Las Vegas last weekend, Bob, that Joey Logano was really good at getting inside of other guys' heads at this time of year. So I guess it depends on who the other guys are in the championship for, whether or not they're going to be able to get inside Denny Hamlin's head, right?
Yeah, I think so. And really, when you talk about the competition, I think it's even more just if Logano or Ryan Blaney can make it to the champ four, and it looks like that they'll probably have to win one of the last two races to do it. But if they can get there, and with the way Penske has run on the short tracks recently and their history at Phoenix, that they're going to be tough to beat, right? And so you think that he's probably just sitting there hoping that neither of those two make it, and that can be just a battle between some drivers from Gibbs and some drivers from Hendrick.
You think about it, and I can't see, you don't think about a guy like Christopher Bell or, you know, Chase Briscoe, especially if they're, you know, being Hamlin's teammates, getting in there and start talking a lot of trash with Denny.
Yeah, no, I think that probably won't happen between the inner teammate guys like that, but maybe Larson and Hamlin, because they've kind of been rivals on track a little bit. Maybe we do see a little bit there. I know Larson's usually a little bit more reserved, so we probably won't. But, I mean, that would be the biggest chance, I think, of any kind of smack talking. Usually most of these guys are pretty kind of cordial with each other as far as things go. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of smack talking. Unless it comes from Denny, which would be kind of a weird strategy going into it, to kind of just be really bold going into it despite not having a championship. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
How big, Bob, is 60 wins? I mean, I know it ties in for 10th on the all-time list. You know, whether or not he ever wins a championship, obviously he goes down as one of the greatest drivers of all time. I guess the question becomes, does he become one of the greatest drivers of all time that's never won a champion, and he's never won a championship, or maybe the greatest driver of all time that's never won a championship? But where do you, you know, when you start talking about a round number like 60, what does that really translate into?
Well, I think it's a combined when you talk about round numbers, because not only are you talking 60 as far as wins, but you were talking top 10 in all-time wins, right? Kevin Harvick was 10th at 60 by himself. Now Denny kind of joins him. So I think when you talk about a driver who is in the top 10 in all-time wins, that is a huge accomplishment, a huge kind of showcase of what you've done in the sport, and you know, continue on. There probably won't be too many other drivers, I don't think, who are going to hit 60 And, you know, and look, he has a couple more years left. If he can get up to even just 65, it'll be really tough for somebody, for other drivers to come and match that, especially when you talk about probably the next gen era, which doesn't have a lot of drivers with years of 8, 9, or 10 wins.
I mean, that's the thing. I wonder when the next guy is, if we're ever going to see another guy get to 60 wins. I mean, okay, yeah, never is a long time, Toby, but, and you look at somebody like, you know, Connor Zilich and what he offers, what he brings to the table, you know, as far as potential goes, but nobody else is even at 40 right now.
No, but you do have Logano, who's still pretty relatively young. He's at 37, I believe, so he's pretty close to 40. You would think if he keeps kind of chugging along at a high level for a while, he would be able to kind of maybe threaten that level. But yeah, it's going to be hard. It's a very hard era in NASCAR right now to try to stack a bunch of wins. Like Bob said, with the next-gen car, we've not seen a lot of guys go on sustained runs of dominance since 2022. And to have 6 wins this year for Denny Hamlin, that's a huge number, right? Like, I mean, to even hit that mark right now with what we've seen in the next-gen era is very impressive. At his age, for one, and then just with a new crew chief and a whole bunch of other things that are going on, just a crazy set of circumstances that have led to him having a 6-win season.
Yeah, the only guys still active that are over 30 wins, Logano's got 37, Keselowski's got 36, and Larson's got 32. And then you drop down to 21 for Chase Elliott. So, yeah.
And Kyle Busch was 63.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but as far as anybody else making 60, that's a pretty tall order.
Which, I mean, that speaks volumes for Kyle Busch and the level he's at right now. We don't even mention him when we're talking about guys with 60 wins. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it really is. Pretty amazing. Well, our Pit Reporter's question this week is, how many career wins do you think Hamlin's going to finish with? And you're going to give our choices are going to be 60, 65, 70, or more than 70. Of course, if you pick 60, that means you think he's done. So there you go. Last week, we asked you very simply, should Denny Hamlin have stayed behind Ross Chastain at the Roval and kept Joey Logano out of the playoffs or out of the round of 8? And 55% said yes, 45% said no. When we come back, we're going to look at the updated standings and see what these guys think. Who's going to be able to climb out of that deficit? Especially the Penske guys who are way down there. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Eric. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com and Racing America, and also Bob Pockers from Fox Sports. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Oh, what an interesting turn of events we had, Toby, at Las Vegas, especially for William Byron, who was leading the race, got a little loose, fell back to second, and then, Ty Dillon made a little boo-boo. he kind of missed his line going to pit road, hadn't bothered to tell anybody except his spotter he was going to pit road, and it took out William Byron. And all of a sudden, Byron goes from potentially having a spot locked up at Phoenix to he's now 15 below the cut line. Chase Elliott runs into a situation on pit road where his team has a tire get away from them, uncontrolled tire. He ends up going a lap down on a pass-through penalty. He's now 23 points below the cut line. Logano, 24 points below the cut line, which is where he started, despite the fact he gets a top finish. And then Ryan Blaney has a tire destroyed. He ends up 31 points below the cut line. So, I mean, there's some guys going to Talladega who basically are thinking, I got to win here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the situation we find ourselves in every year at this point, right? Typically, the first guy out is usually kind of somewhat close, kind of pressures everybody into – you know, being on their A game, but then the rest of the guys are in must-win mode for the most part the rest of the way, and that's kind of where we're at. I know the points aren't far enough now at this point, especially going to Talladega where anything can kind of happen and kind of really shake some things up, but if they get out of Talladega and they're still at that 24 to whatever range, I feel like it's going to be must-win for sure at Martinsville. So a lot of pressure this week. There's a lot of things that can change over in Talladega, and this is the week where if you're very far behind, this is your chance to really make something happen. And if you're way ahead, this is a chance to really give a lot of that back. So a lot of people need to really execute and watch out for some of the issues that usually sweep up a lot of people at this track.
Yeah, a lot of big swings at Las Vegas, right, Bob?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about Ty Dillon, and, you know, it's he said they really didn't take much of a different line than he had. And I think the bigger question is, like, let's say he was hugging the white line. I mean, Byron still would have hit him, right? Unless Byron noticed that a little bit more and was like, oh, I got to try to dart up the track. So I don't know if that was a big deal. Ty Dillon did say that he put his arm out there, but he thinks that Byron was just so far behind him at the time, you know, and was catching him at such a quick pace on fresher tires that he probably just didn't see it. So whatever the reason is, you know, Byron's 15 points back. I think he can make that up. And even Elliott at 23, I think that's way more manageable than Logano at 24, because if somebody does have, I think they'll all need to have somebody have trouble at Talladega. And I think someone will. I think the question is how many will have trouble at Talladega. And that's where I think the difficulty is for Logano at seventh in the standings, and then Blaney at 31 points back at eighth in the standings. That even if a couple of drivers ahead of them have trouble at Talladega, they're still going to have to overcome both Byron and Elliott, who I think will be good at Talladega.
Well, the thing is that, you know, we know the Fords have been good at these, you know, at the super speedways, the Daytonas and the Talladegas and Atlantas. And, you know, when you're to Bob's point, when you're talking about guys 23, 24, 31 points back, even if you win both stages and maximize points there, you're still in negative territory.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you are. And the problem is the two Ford guys, which are Team Penske teammates, both are in the same situation going into this. Last year and years past, you know, one of them usually is either locked in or looking pretty good at this point. So maybe you help the other one out. This time it's going to be both of them kind of for themselves. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of wanting to help the other one, because if you help the one, chances are, if you're the guy that was right behind him, you could have been in, and now you're probably not going to be in. So there's a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made by a lot of different guys throughout the course of this race, and for sure the two Tim Penske teammates, who are usually in a really good spot at this point, I think are the two that are going to have the most difficulty kind of navigating mental situations at the end of this thing.
Bob, if you're the crew chief for one of these guys, you know, for an Elliott, a Logano, a Blaney, how do you play this? Do you play it, we got to go for the win, or do you play it, look, we're going to try to maximize points first in the stages and then try to put ourselves in a position to win?
I think you got to maximize points and then kind of see where things are then. I think you, obviously you're thinking, you know, a win would be great. It's, you know, if you're one of those guys, you're kind of hoping that somebody outside the top eight wins, and therefore another driver will get in on points to the championship four. And that's why, you know, Kyle Larson said he kind of likes that this race is now in the round of eight, because he feels like anybody, if one of these eight win, they've been good all year and probably deserve to be in the champ four. But there's no kind of fluke winner like maybe there could have been in the round of 12 who then gets into the round of eight. So I do think that you're going to try to run up front. This track is still, and this race is still one where it's difficult to come from the back to the front. You're going to want to put yourself in a good position. Yes, the wrecks do happen closer to the front, but you're just going to have to be around people that that you trust. And look, you know, you're probably going to hope that you're around a bunch of other playoff drivers, right? Because at least if you wreck, hopefully the rest of them are having bad days too.
I like, to Bob's point, I like that it's in the middle of this round, and maybe not the first race of the round, but it's the middle of the round, Toby, because of the fact that I think it's going to have to play into some guys being more aggressive. You're not going to see... I don't think you're going to see people just lining up and being patient until the final stage. I think you're going to see guys, as Bob was saying, I think you're going to see guys, I got to run up front and get stage points. And so you're going to see them have to be a little more aggressive.
Oh, I think so too, because now the situation is, if you're going to get caught up in something in the last lap or the closing laps, you're probably going to be up towards the front fighting for it anyway. So if that happens, you want to bank as many stage points as you can just in case something does happen. So if everyone else is involved in it too, maybe your stage points help you gain that disadvantage you had going into it. So if you're skipping out on the stage points, you're really doing yourself a disservice later on, because if you get swept up in it anyway, trying to come from the back to the front, you're going to have a situation where you're not going to be able to climb out of that hole. So it's going to be interesting to see how they all play it. But I feel like you're right. I think they're all going to have to try to chase stage points. I think the only person happy going into this race is probably Denny Hamlin, because he doesn't have to worry about any of it.
You know, interesting thing going on in the Xfinity series, Bob, is that with Eric Almirola winning at Las Vegas, obviously he's not running full-time. He's not eligible to run for the championship. But his car is. They're running for the owner's championship. So the 19 car has qualified for the championship. So that means that one of the four cars running for the championship, one of the four drivers running for the championship at Phoenix, he will be eligible for the driver's championship, but his car will not be eligible for the owner's championship. And I understand fans don't necessarily really care about the owner's championship, but the owner sure do.
Yeah. And don't forget Austin Hill, the number 30 RCR, number 21 car is also
right,
still in the Xfinity playoffs. So theoretically you could have two drivers who are there just for the driver's championship, and then two different cars running for the owner's championship among the four eligible there. Now in the Xfinity and trucks, the bonus money for the championship is kind of split evenly among owners and drivers. And in Cup, it's all owners, but in Xfinity and truck, it's split, but there's certainly some coin there, and it's certainly some bragging rights there, and certainly a trophy to be gained there. And that's why Eric Almirola was always scheduled to do Talladega, but he wasn't scheduled to do Martinsville and Phoenix. That was supposed to be Justin Bonsignor, but now Almirola will finish out the season in the final three races.
And already the two drivers who are driving cars that are not still in the playoffs, the drivers are in the playoffs, Toby, but their cars are not in the playoffs, is the one car, Quapel, and the 8 car, Sammy Smith. The drivers are still eligible to make the championship, but their cars are not still in the playoffs. And that's what Bob was talking about with the 19 and the 21. The cars are in the championship, but the drivers aren't. Got that straight?
It's always hard to keep up with that kind of stuff, right? And I'm sure there's going to be some fans that if, you know, one of these guys that are making it to the championship race that maybe aren't in there for the driver's championship make a kind of crazy move on one of the other playoff guys and be like, what are they doing? That's crazy. It's a playoff contender. Well, he is too, just a different championship. So it's always fun to try to explain this to some of the fans that maybe have tuned out on the owner's championship side of things, but it is a big deal. And I guarantee you Eric Almirola is a very dangerous guy to be alive in that hunt for the championship.
Oh, but and have you done the math yet, Bob, as to where Connor Zillich has to finish at Talladega to clinch a spot in the Final Four?
I haven't done the math yet on where he
he's
eight, where
he's
he
82
points
yeah he's 82 points above the cut line, so what yeah. he has to finish but, what well, 60 points up
he has to finish 57 points above whoever's fourth on the cut, you know, who's ever fourth. So the driver who's the last one who would be in, he has to be 57 points up on that driver in case another driver wins. And a driver who's outside the cut wins, and then that driver finishes second and also gets all the stage points as far as winning the post stages and the fastest lap point.
So right now he's 74 points ahead of Sam Mayer, who's fourth. So, yeah, so if he finishes like in the top 20, which, gosh. Yeah,
and some stage points.
That would be unusual for him.
Yeah. Now, for everybody thinking it's a complete lock, though, I mean, this is the same race early in the year that he was leading on the last lap, got spun out, and actually injured his back, had to miss a race. So something like that happens again, all of a sudden your seemingly obvious slam dunk championship four appearance could be a thing that's in question too. So it's never a slam dunk until you've actually chiseled your name into the list, for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, what did that wreck do? It unleashed the beast. How many times has he finished outside the top five since then? None. What's it, 18 straight top fives, Bob?
Yeah, around that. And gosh, he's won. he has a winner sticker for every virtually every on a bunch of those. So yeah,
like not,
yeah,
like he's, nine wins and 18 straight, and they get top fives now.
They've got enough of the win stickers, they could craft the 88s on the side out of them.
They ought to do that. That'd be kind of cool. All right, when we come back, we know now of one opening in the Cup Series for next year, and we think we know who's going to be in there, but that hasn't been announced yet. But the opening has. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. and the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes Camp Fun Beyond Our Gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Bob Pockers from Fox Sports, Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Bob, not a surprise that the number 7 car has been vacated for next year. Justin Haley is out of Spires Motorsports. You know, it's kind of interesting. He was there, then he left, then he came back. But this is not a surprise. We've kind of expected this, right?
I mean, you look, whenever you're outside the top 25 in points, you should never be surprised if you're let go. And look, you know, I think this has been one where, you know, they changed crew chiefs. They want to kind of see, was there enough improvement? And I don't think they saw it. You know, you look at, he has, you know, 2 top 10s this year. So, and not, he only has 2 DNFs. So, and, you know, you look at where he is in the standings, then you look at where Michael McDowell and Carson Hocevar are, and they're 21st and 23rd, and you're like, you know, gosh, it just didn't seem like there was a whole lot of upside there that you'd see that you could see a lot of growth and a potential for significant change in that system.
And this is a change that actually happened late last year when, you know, they did the kind of the swap and brought Corey LaJoie had been in the car, swapped him out, and brought Haley in kind of as a kickstarter for this year, and really didn't see any improvement, did they?
No, they didn't. And I think, you know, last year he had 2 top 10s in the Rick Ware Racing car, and I think a lot of people when that move happened, the driver trade happened, were like, you know, like Haley's looked pretty good in that Rick Ware Racing car. He's really elevated that program. There's a chance he could do the same over here at Spire, and it just, I don't know what it is. Things just have not clicked, and it kind of felt like a storybook thing because he was once there and then he came back. So you were kind of almost pulling for the story side of it. It would have been kind of a cool tie-in to kind of wrap things back up around, but it just didn't materialize.
All right, a lot of rumblings, Bob, that this is going to be where Daniel Suarez lands. No announcement yet. Is that what you're hearing?
I think he's definitely the top candidate right now, right? And we're still talking in the middle of October, and sometimes things can change, right? Like, you wonder what's going to happen over at 2311 and Front Row if they lose the lawsuit and all that. But right now, you know, Suarez comes, and look, you say, well, gosh, he's only 28th in points. He would probably argue, like, look, but I have 7 top 10s. He's had 9 races where he's been knocked out or gotten out because of accidents. So he probably feels like he has potential. He certainly has over 300 cup races of experience, and, you know, and certainly is the driver with the most experience who would be available for Spire. So I think it is Daniel's, unless somebody better becomes available.
Well, and Daniel Toby has made it pretty clear that he wants to stay in Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. Once you get there, a lot of guys don't want to leave there. I mean, you look at Corey LaJoie, too. He was very emphatic that he didn't want to do anything other than Cup for so long. He tried out the truck and Xfinity stuff a little bit around the times. But at the end of the day, he wants to be a Cup driver. He's going to be running in the NASCAR National Series, and that just wasn't in the cards for him. But same thing for Suarez. I think that there are probably some decent and really, really good Xfinity, maybe Truck Series rides that would be open to him if he wanted to take them. But at the end of the day, a lot of these guys want to stick in Cup. And for the Cup programs, too, if you have a guy that has next-gen experience, that's big, too. If you're going to be getting a new driver cycling in, you kind of want a guy who has been experienced in that next-gen car.
Bob, I don't want to get too far in the weeds with the lawsuits. And I mean, I know there's still a lot going on. There are a lot of layers here. Where do things stand right now? Because you talked about we could see some rides open up, or, well, we could see some drivers available because there may not be rides. It actually kind of plays out that way. So where do things stand right now? Because we know that there is something of a deadline coming up in December.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, next week is going to be a big week in the lawsuit. They have a settlement session mediation on Tuesday, the 21st. And, you know, whether they get very far in that, we'll see. And then the judge will hear hearings for a summary judgment on the 23rd. Both sides are asking, the 2311 is asking for only certain items to be declared before they go to trial as far as being rule of law. The NASCAR wants a decision in their favor totally before they go to trial. Typically, before you settle, you want to hear what how the judge rules on summary judgment, right? Because that can determine, you know, how you feel the case might go. But certainly a pivotal week next week. Now, trial is scheduled to begin December 1.
Do you have any kind of gut feeling one way or the other that this will be settled before the court date?
Courts are very hard to predict. I certainly feel like that there is a hope to settle, that nobody wants to go through a bloody trial, but, you know, both of these, both sides have a lot of money and haven't gotten to where they've gotten in their business careers by settling, right? So I think you weigh those two things. And look, this is, you know, in antitrust, you could have an entire trial and let's say 2311 front row win, then they both have to kind of, beyond any sort of monetary damages, they both have to tell the judge, well, these would be the remedies that you should rule for. And then they could settle before that judge, before the judge rules, or even on appeal. So this isn't that, you know, just because, you know, you have a trial date coming up on December 1 doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, then the case might never get settled.
I know the one thing we hear a lot of, Toby, is when anything goes to trial, that the only one that ends up winning are the lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, typically lawyers do quite well. Right. But I think the other question is there's a lot of redactions and all the stuff we've seen, all the different filings, what's in the redactions that could kind of sway things too, whether or not we end up there too. But I'm with Bob. I think the settlement hearing that they're going to be having, I think is a big, big thing. And that will kind of show both sides how this probably is leaning. So I think we know a lot more after that happens on where we're going to be going.
So you guys both believe this could go into next season.
I do. I mean, if they do go to trial, you'll have an appeal. So at least there'll be some lingering issues in 2026. But then also I think there'll be an urgency to potentially get something settled before the start of the season. It's funny because everybody believes, well, gosh, if you're looking at a Charlotte jury and gosh, Michael Jordan is sitting there, just how much influence and weight. And I think the question is, will people be looking at Michael Jordan as the incredible basketball player or the former owner of the Hornets, where he wasn't as successful as he was as a basketball player?
Yeah. Oh, it's insane. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new engine rules for next year. Will more power mean more entertainment? Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to visit to enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra and a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now, and you can drive off a winner. And welcome back to the Pit Reporters, along with Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com and Bob Pockers from Fox Sports. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, NASCAR has announced, Toby, that next year at tracks shorter than 1.5 miles and road courses, that they will increase horsepower from 670 to 750. Sounds encouraging, at least that's what the drivers have been asking for, but Kyle Larson apparently drove the test in which they were looking at the numbers from this. And after the test, the guy said, "So what'd you think of the greater horsepower?" Kyle said, "I had more horsepower," which doesn't sound super promising then, does it?
Well, this is also a guy that's used to running a sprint car too, so maybe that's part
true.
Of it. But I wish it would have been more, but people have been calling for an increase, which is good that we're getting an increase of some kind to try it out. It doesn't hurt to try anything. You know, with NASCAR and Goodyear kind of working together on softer tires, any increase should help those give up more as well, you would imagine. So that's good. It's one of those things where we'll have to kind of see how it goes. But I'm kind of with Kyle Larson and saying that we should temper our expectations, expecting it to be the magic wand that cures all, because there's still problems with the car, obviously, at some of these facilities as far as putting on a good show. And we'll see if the horsepower can help out a little bit.
Yeah, Bob, talking to a lot of the drivers in Las Vegas, I know you had a chance to talk to a lot of them. It seemed like it was, okay, we're moving in the right direction, but it sounded like they were more interested in continuing what Goodyear's been able to do with the tires.
Right, and I think it's a match of, you know, increasing the horsepower. That's what they've been asking for. But, you know, obviously you got to get the tires to be where they want as well, and especially to have tire wear be a factor at these tracks, right? These are the tracks where you want a driver to have to choose, okay, how hard do I push early in a run versus how much do I need to be able to save my tires? So I guess the thing is that with a little bit more horsepower, they should be able to push it a little bit more. If the tires do wear a little bit more, maybe you'll have more of those decisions come into play.
You know, the thing that I don't see anywhere in there is like anything to handicap Shane Van Gisbergen at the road courses.
Yeah, we don't have any Mario Kart Turtles or anything.
I think Shane Van Gisbergen will be good at 670 horsepower, 750 horsepower, 850 horsepower, or 1,000 horsepower.
And, you know, the thing I've been told is what he's really good at is managing tire wear.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think, like Bob said, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything to impact SVG's performance on road courses one way or the other, but I have to say his oval progress has actually been pretty impressive the last few races. Like, he's actually been showing some drastic improvement. I know the results haven't been there. He's had weird things happen in some of the races, but as far as pace goes, he's finding himself more and more inside the top 10, top 15, and that's pretty encouraging for them.
Yeah, he was, last week he was running inside the top 10, top 15 at Las Vegas, and then got caught up in the wreck on the restart that claimed Ty Gibbs and others. Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess the question is, when you start racing up there now in the top 10 or top 15, the racing changes a little bit. Now they do say that sometimes it's even more dicey back when it's from 20 to 25th. But I think late in the race, when you're talking that top 10, top 15, it can potentially be a little bit of a different style, and it's probably something that he'll have to get adjusted to the more that he's there. But the fact that he is there late in a race is showing that he's learning about these ovals, and probably shouldn't be surprised that he's showing that improvement at places like Kansas, at places like Las Vegas, where they've already run earlier this year, and now he's going back for a second time and has a little bit more knowledge of what to expect.
Well, can you imagine what the celebration is going to be like if he ever picks up a win at an oval?
I don't think they'll be the only ones celebrating. Everybody else won't be.
Well, that's true. When we come back, Talladega stands ahead. Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won 4 races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Bob Pockris from Fox Sports, Toby Christie from TobyChristie.com, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Bob, do you like having Talladega in the round of 8?
No.
But aren't you looking for a good story, good storylines? Come on.
Yeah, I just, with 3 race rounds, I prefer it in the round of in the opening round, quite frankly. Certainly it's more dramatic in this round. And look, if they go in the new version of the playoffs, whatever it is, if they go to a 4 race championship round and want to put a super speedway drafting race in there, I'm cool with that. But when you're trying to cut from 8 to 4, I might feel different if Martinsville wasn't in this round too, but it seems just a little bit more chance for more chance for heartache.
Toby, how you feel about it?
I'm with Bob. I feel like it's weird, especially when we have like the kind of shenanigans that have gone on at Martinsville the last few years. You had the Hail Melon in 22. You had the manipulation stuff last year. Who knows what we'll see this time around? And then you've got Talladega right before that. So I feel like that could get to the point where, you know, fans are already feeling like the format we have currently right now is very gimmicked up and lends itself to people that maybe necessarily don't deserve to be in the Championship Four, getting to the Championship Four or other rounds of things. Obviously, this year we have a very deserving group of guys. I don't think there's any real surprises in the Championship Eight we have right now. But yeah, it is weird to have Talladega being one of these very, very important deciding races that could get somebody into a Championship Four appearance.
Well, it's interesting because you guys talked about the manipulation of Martinsville last year, and we've seen other questionable types of manipulation. The question at the Roval, should Denny Hamlin have been given more information about where, who, you know, should you pass Ross Chastain and how that would affect Joey Logano? And that, you know, the question about would that be race manipulation? I heard Adam Stevens on Sirius this week talking about he's glad that Talladega, if it's in the round of eight, he's glad it's where it's at because there is so much communication, Bob, between teams at Talladega about coming down pit road together and things like that, that would really, if it were a cutoff race, that would really bring into question a lot of things about, are you manipulating the race?
Yeah, I think the thing at Talladega is that, you know, there's no, you can't say somebody should have tried to pass somebody. Like, it's never clear that, oh, you can make the pass, right? Because you need help. So there's, you know, if you decide to push somebody, that decision to push can always be determined as trying to help improve your position, right? Because there's no, it's not like you can say, well, let me look at the last 10 laps and see the line that he took. He took that same line behind the guy that he was pushing,
yeah.
Right? So there's nothing that NASCAR can look at, you know, when it comes to that, you know. And look, I think, you know, but you certainly could get a situation where you could be pushing, you know, if you are a playoff driver, you're probably not going to push another playoff driver to the win if you can push a non-playoff driver to the win, right?
That's true. But again, that's something, Toby, it's hard to predetermine that because of the way, again, things line up, especially in those closing laps, the way things shuffle so quickly, and you don't always get to decide who you're lined up with.
No, Talladega, Daytona, and stuff like that, it's always very difficult. Talladega, the last few years has been a little bit more predictable on who you end up with because a lot of times they're kind of stuck in the lines they're in. Everybody kind of gets as wide as you can get and stay there. But, you know, we've seen things kind of change at Daytona in the summer race was a little bit less of the kind of riding around fuel saving kind of stuff. And it felt like people could kind of come and go a little more when they wanted to. So we'll see if maybe we have some of that this time around. Maybe the cars are changing a little bit as they, you know, get their arms wrapped around them more. But it is kind of, it's one of those things where I don't think going into the race, lap 50, I know I'm going to be behind this guy. So it is one of those things where a lot of it is kind of up to just how it happens. And you have to kind of go with it as things fall.
How much do you think fuel savings are going to be a part of this one, Bob?
Oh, it's going to be big, you know, especially the first two stages, I believe. So, you know, at stages of 60, 60, and 68, you're going to have to pit during them. So you will have, it will be fuel mileage for probably the start of each of those stages. I just don't see how they'll race any differently until a caution comes out.
Well, and once again, you know, green flag pit stops is going to put all the pressure on those pit crews, and any kind of mistake is going to be huge.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, Denny Hamlin with pit road issues in the past. He doesn't have to worry about it. He's locked in, so that's good. Maybe this is where he can get one of those rare mistakes that he hasn't had much this year out of the way. But yeah, anybody who has an error like that, we saw Ross Chastain had several pit road miscues at the Roval. Those are very costly when you're really on the edge of possibly making it into a Championship Four. And that could definitely, you know, ruin somebody's Martinsville because, you know, you make a mistake here at Talladega. Now all of a sudden you've compounded your problems and you're way further back than you expected to be going into Martinsville. And now you're trying to play catch up at Martinsville, and that sometimes leads to way more mistakes.
When we come back, white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Grab a friend and pack the cooler. Saturday Night Racing returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway October 18th for the Z-Max Cars Tour Championship. See rising stars like Keelan Harvick compete against short track racing's best in season finals for Pro Late Model, Late Model Stock, and the Smart Modified Tour. Party down North Wilkesboro style with the Z-Max Cars Tour Saturday, October 18th. For tickets, visit NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179. Tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from Fox Sports, Bob Pockrass.
Well, Brett, you asked about Connor Zilich and how many points he needs. It's actually 51 is his number for this race, if no matter what anybody else does. And speaking of Connor Zilich, you know, remember earlier this year we talked about it, Talladega, he breaks his back. And he misses a race, and we thought not much of it. But with all the talk about could NASCAR go to a 36-race point system, that would be something that NASCAR would have to consider. Would you be able to drop a race or two, or would they force drivers to at least start a race to get points? And what would that say about what they feel are safety issues and driver health issues?
Good point. It's something they've been able to deal with better because of the playoff system. Next up from TobyChristie.com and Racing America, it's Toby Christie.
Yeah, I want to talk about the rotating finale. People have rumored that Las Vegas would be in consideration for that. And I think what we saw on Sunday was a race that was capable and worthy of a championship race. You have comers and goers. The tires did what they were supposed to do. And it really lent itself to a pretty good race and a compelling finish, as we saw with Denny Hamlin winning in an interesting battle with Kyle Larson down the stretch. So I'd love to see Las Vegas in the championship rotation.
Las Vegas knows how to throw a party.
They do. They do. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think we saw a different side of Denny Hamlin the other day than we've seen the last few years. So this has been Denny Hamlin, the I beat your favorite driver, and the guy that's been willing to kind of, you know, poke the bear anytime he wants to. And what we saw last weekend was an emotional Denny Hamlin. Obviously deal with some personal issues and his dad's poor health. And Denny Hamlin that people don't usually get a chance to see. We knew that 60 was an important number to him. He's been talking about that for quite some time. He got the 60th win. And then he got emotional. He got emotional in the car. He got emotional in victory lane. And you saw a human side of Denny Hamlin. I don't know if that's going to make him more popular, but maybe it's going to ease off some of the vitriol that we see for Denny Hamlin week in and week out. We know he's going to be in the finals. and we know how badly he wants that first championship. He doesn't talk much about it because it's been such a disappointment in the years past. But we'll see if Denny Hamlin can become a little more popular in the weeks to come. Bob, thanks a lot. Toby, thank you. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.